We have over here the Rashi case. So we have over here the mincha me'af etan, a mincha that comes from flour that has been baked. Okay, mincha me'af etan. So it says over here, we are two different types. There are two different types of mincha me'af etan. There's the chalos and there are the matzais. I read the pasuk again. V'chisakrev korban mincha me'af etan. Now, so what is the person bringing soilus? And there are two types. You have a choice, A and B. Either you bring chalos, or you bring. I made a mistake. Either you bring matzois or you bring rikikim. Rikikim. There's chalos matzois bilulos bashemen, or there's rikikim matzois mishuchim bashemen. Okay, so we went to Rashi yesterday in great detail. Now let's go see what it's over here in the Targum. The Targum was a little bit more complicated. If a person will be v'chi, if a person will bring a korban mincha from the category of afei tanur, sulta, it shall come from flour, soiles, and then it says chalois matzos. It says giritzon patiron depilon b'mishka. Depilon seemingly means mingled with oil. Okay. So what do these two words mean? Gritzon patiron. This is scary stuff, these two words. It's going to be from chalois matzois. Chalois matzois is called gritzon patiron. So let's see over here what it says over here in the Minchas of the Ma'at Tzori, our favorite sefer, telling us all the laws, how to decipher the Targum. This is Pasuk Dalit. And here in the Ma'at, sorry, here we go. You don't have it in front of you, so I'm just going to read it, and we'll try to figure it out together. Okay, so it says over here the word gritzin. Gritzin, I'm reading you what it says over here. Kavanosai lachamim agulim. Okay, I'm reading you what he says over here. He's quoting over here from Rabbeinu Haigoin, Mesech the Kalim, and the Oruch. Oruch was an old dictionary, a Rishon, Erech Keretz. And he has over here a star. I don't know, what is the star going? He has over here in this edition is a star. Where does the star go to? I really don't know. Maybe in the back of the sefer. I'm going further. What he says over here, lachamim ovim, another interpretation. Thick. Then he has another interpretation from the Rambam, ki korois gidolim, uladasa primagodim. Another interpretation, geretz betargum perusha lechem ov, thick bread kachala. Or it's a light or it's thin. It may be thin, but it's very big. It's very wide. It's like a matzah. We have our matzos. It's very, very wide. The Yesh L'Hosef, another interpretation, Shegeretz Mitzayin Tzurosoi B'yosoi Isa Lefnei Afiyosa. The word Geretz refers to its shape before it's put into the oven. That's how it means in the this from the Gra. Aval achala hamefudeshes lemitzvah targumoi. Which chala we're talking about? We're talking about chala. You take off chala. Let's go a little before. 1 second. Chalta. Okay. So it says over here in these few words here in the Ma'atzar, he says a mouthful. First of all, he opens up our eyes to appreciate something very, very important. I never thought about this. And it's kedai for me to come tonight just to learn this, sorry, is that there are two different types of chalos. We know that with chala, there's a mitzvah deraisa of hafroshas chala. Noshim to the kodiyos, now a generation. They're very busy making chala. They make for Shabbos. They make their own chala, or what we call chala, their own bread. Why? Why? Because they like to bake bread. The reason why they make challah on Shabbos is to give them the opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of hafroshas challah. They have a certain amount of dough, 43 2/3 of an egg, whatever that is, 5 pounds. I think they call 5 pounds of dough. It's a lot of dough. Many times women cannot make the brach because they do not have the shiur, unless they go and they make the dough in one shot and they freeze it. They put away the dough. They only take what they need for that Shabbos. And they put the remaining dough in the freezer. They make it in different batches, how much they will use every week. And they put around that dough in the freezer for the next Shabbos. And they only use the first time they use what they have, 5 pounds of flour. You make a big, big batch of dough. You don't need all that dough for Friday night. Even for a big family, you don't need so much dough. So you just take what you need, and then you take what you need for the next couple of, and you break it up into different pieces, and you freeze it, and then every week you take out one batch, and you make a challah. So that enables them to make a bracha. You mafresh challah, you make a bracha, and hafreshas challah. So there, the word challah is used in that context, the gift you give to the kohanim. Here, that's not what it means. Here, it says, chalois matzos. The Gro is telling us, or he's pointing out here in the Sefer, there are two different types of chalois. Hafroshas challah, and the word chal that's used in reference to the word matzos. And he provides us over here, the word, it's a very hard word to translate. What is the combination of chalois matzos? Just, you know, close your eyes and make believe someone stopped you on the street and said, can you please translate for me this expression that it's found in Parshas Vayikra, in Perek Beis Pasuk Vav? It says that you shall make, in the category of Afei Tanur, it says you have a choice between Rikikin Matzos and Chalois Matzos. Can you please explain to me what is the translation of Chalois Matzos? If someone stopped me on the street, I would say, oh, I have no idea really what it means. But weren't your mother Sedra all these years? Didn't you go to shul all these years? Didn't you read, didn't you go to first grade? Don't you know this? I'll say, you know, I got to tell you the truth. I don't know. It's my fault. It's terrible. So today, at least we have the advantage that we have over here the paragraph in front of us on the screen. And the screen over here says that the translation of the word chalos means gritzen. Ah, gritzen. Gritzen patiron. That's what you tell the person who asks you this question. Don't you know? It's gritzen patiron. And they'll look at you like you're from Mars. What is gritzen patiron? So here in the Ma'atzar, he gives, I think, 5-6 translations. Let's focus now on the last one from the Gro, which is very appealing. And he says the word matzois is what these breads look like when they come out of the oven. The word chalois is what they look like before you put them in the oven. Isn't that like super simple? You have dough, and you mix it with water, and there's also going to be oil that's going to be an added ingredient, but when you're going to bake something, it automatically means you have to add water to it. And what do you do with it? You make it into a certain shape, and then you take it and you put it into the oven. Before you put when you have dough, a batter of dough, that's called isa. And then you shape it, you braid it, you make it either, you flatten it down to make it very, very thin, or you want to make it more bulky, whatever. That's up to the baker, how they want to go make the bread. But the word here, chalois, is a word that is describing the tzura, the form of what you have in front of you at the time before you put it into the oven. When you take it out of the oven, you have to make sure that it's not leavened. You have done it, you have been diligent in your performance from the time you made this into a dough and added the oil and proceeded to do this entire process. You were diligent in producing something which is called matzah. Matzah, by definition, we all know means it's not leaven. It's not fluffy. It's not chametz. So chalois is when it's a dough. It is when it's shaped. Not the dough. When it's shaped and ready to be put into the oven. And matzahs. The word giritzon is, that's what the word means. Now that's one interpretation. I think that one interpretation really enhances all of the other interpretations that the Ma'atzari has compiled for us in his diligence in searching all of the Rishonim. Now I'm going to go back and read it again to get a better appreciation. Gritzon, lachamim agulim. And the first thing he says is something fascinating, that chalois is round. Chalois is round. And that's very interesting because by question, today when you go into the soda by matzah, is our matzah today on Pesach, is it round or is it square? Or is it triangular? So the basic rule is, if it's hand matzah, it's round. If it's machine matzah, it's square. Who made this rule? Who made this rule? Hand matzah should be round, machine matzah should be square. Nobody made this rule. This is just the way it came out. In fact, it used to be years ago, one of the first types of machine matzah was round. They actually made round machine matzah. I don't believe today a product exists like this.
It's much harder to make because it's regular waste. Machine matzahs, you just put it through the machine and it.
There's no waste. It cuts into squares. Exactly. It's just a matter of practicality.
If it cuts around, then you have a lot of waste.
It's just a matter of practicality. Exactly. Now the question over here is: what about making hand square matzah? Did you ever see hand matzah that's square? I never saw it. Maybe it exists. Because that's not the way when you go and you shape it. You take the roller. You have only 18 minutes. You got to work fast. And the way you make matzah by hand naturally, you end up making it round. You don't waste any of the dough. And that's the way it just comes out practically speaking. All right. Very nice. Very nice. We have square machine matzah, and we have round hand matzah, and the simple understanding is nothing more than being practical. However, it's not so simple. There is a discussion, I cannot cite you at this moment, chapter and verse, that hold that matzah really should be round. That would be the ideal. And the machine matzah, listen, we're not looking for trouble, so it's square, it's good, it's just as good, but really, where do you know this? Because it says by Sarah Imenu, Yaakov Avraham Avinu said to Ugois Matzos, prepare for the angels, Ugois Matzos. Chazal tell us that event, when the Amalochim came to visit Avraham Avinu, was Lel Pesach. And the word Uga comes from the word Og, which means a circle. Choni Amagel, he made an Og, a circle. He walked into the circle. So there is a custom based upon the fact that the matzah is the first time we learn about matzahs in the Torah is by Avraham Avinu, before Matan Torah, it says Ugois Matzos, is a remez that matzah should be round. Okay, now my question to you is, why, if that's really what the pasuk is trying to tell you, why did it not say by Avraham Avinu, Chalois Matzos, prepare for the Malachim Chalois Matzos, because here, in this wonderful sefer that I'm reading over here, where it's coming to help you understand the Targum, and it says the word Gritzin, he writes here in the commentary, in the name of Rav Haigoin, he writes that the translation of the word Gritzin means Lachamim Agulim, round. The whole word Gritzin means nothing more than round. It's a very, I don't know what this word means. What's the source for this word? Rav Haigoin, obviously, he knew this, okay? Then he cites another interpretation, Rashi, Masechta Beitza, as well as another Aruch, another parish, the Aruch also. It's a different word in the Aruch, it's a different root. He says it means thick, thick loaves of bread. Okay, so that would answer the stira, it doesn't have to be round, it means thick, thick. And we all know that matzah, the way we have matzah today, you go to different matzah baking factories, some people want the pupa matzah. Why do they like the pupa matzah? It's very, very thin. And some people don't really like it so much. They rather have the shatzer matzah. Shatzer matzah is a little bit thicker. Some like, I don't know, it's the other, all different types of matzah. Look, a couple of years ago, Manischewitz made a new product, hand matzah. And I had the schus to have a box of Manischewitz hand matzah. It was very interesting. It was very, very thick. It was very tasty, but it was very, very, very thick. Something very different. It was very interesting. And we all know that we're told that the matzah we have today is not the real matzah. Matzah was softer. It was more like a pita bread. And I guess if matzah is like a pita bread, and it's not like a rock, then I guess there could be different thicknesses. There can be thin and thin, different thicknesses. So when it says over here that it should be chalos matzos, it's coming to reject pupa. Even though you may eat on Pesach night pupa matzah, but you're not allowed to go bring for the minchas afei tanur, you're not allowed to bring pupa matzah because the pupa matzah is too thin. Chalois, by definition, means thick. Okay? Then he cites another interpretation. Then he says what we just said, which is the gra. The word chala doesn't mean round. It doesn't mean thick. It's describing the mitzius of what the dough looks like before you put the dough into the oven, in its after it has been shaped. And then he says, that's it.
What shape was it?
Oh, so he doesn't say. So it doesn't say what shape it was. So what I would like to say is, why don't we go and we combine all three together? Why don't we combine the Aruch and Tosfos and the Gra together? And the word Chalos means that the Chala, the dough, was shaped before it was put in the oven as a thick cake that was round, and it was put in the oven and it was baked. And when it came out of the oven, it's called a matzah, meaning you better make sure that this entire process takes place in less than 18 minutes. So there are two words here that are coming together to tell us what is the product. The product is called chalos matzahs. What is chalos? What are matzahs? What's going on here? Well, we know that matzah is Pesach night. We know what matzah means. It means it's not leaven. And in fact, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was basically ruba de ruba, a kosher LePesach kitchen all year round. 99% of all of the menachos were kosher LePesach. The only time you had a mincha that was chametz, twice a year. Yeah, twice, that's why I said you had Shavuos. On Shavuos it was chametz. And a Torah Toidah, a Karban Toidah, 10 of the breads were chametz. So they probably had a special kitchen just for Shavuos and just for those people that wanted to bring a Karban Toidah. Because everything else had to be kosher LePesach, had to be matzah. So it says matzahs, we know that matzahs means less than 18 minutes. So what does chalos mean in this context? Don't make a mistake and think for one moment it has anything to do with the mitzvah of hafrashas chal. That word, indeed, it's very similar, but it's in a different context. That's what it says over here. It means you take off a small amount. Chalos here means the tzura of the dough after it has been shaped, before it has been put into the oven. And we have over here many sources from the Aruch and from Tosfos and from Rashi, cites a whole collection, and they all have different ideas as what the shape should be. Does the word chala have a connotation that it's round? Or does it have a connotation that it should be thick? Or another interpretation that it should be very wide? It should be spread out and it should be like, take up a lot of space. So let's combine them all together. Who's stopping us? That the way this batter of dough was shaped before it was put in the oven was a thick, round, wide shape. It was put in the oven and it was processed within 18 minutes from beginning to end. And that's why it's called chalos matzahs.
I have one question though. One of the ingredients that we know when we make our matzahs today, we don't add any extra grains, flour, and water.
Correct.
Here, it's clearly added the shemen.
Oh, excellent.
Does the shemen taste change the...
Yes, the zman. The zman. Yeah. Excellent question. So I was thinking the same question. I don't know the answer. I want to say either one or two things. Either in Achanami, it doesn't. Okay? How do you explain that? Because don't you know that... So the when Chazal say that it accelerates the speed, that's only by Meperis. Fruit juices. Oil doesn't appear to be in the category of a fruit juice. No one today, you don't eat oil. When they make bread today, they add oil. I don't know. I have no idea what they do in the bakeries. They add oil, they add salt, they add this, they add that. I don't know what they add. But maybe oil is different. You're asking an excellent question. Or, I don't know, maybe.
Well, first of all, you cooked it. You didn't bake it. So therefore...
No, you baked it. You baked it. You're baking it. No, we're not up to that yet. No, we're not up to that yet. We discuss. There are five different types of menachas. We're up to number 2 and 3, up to the category called afei tanur. There are five menachas. The first one was soilus. That was, yes, 2 days ago. Soilless, pure flour. No baking, no fire. Now we're up to category Afei Tanur. V'chisakriv Karban Mincha Me'afei Sanur. Now, in the category Afei Sanur, it's baking. There is no frying. There is no broiling. There is no cooking. This is called Afei Sanur. You put it, you take a dough, and you stick it to the wall of the oven. You stick it, you glue it. It's naturally glued to the wall of an oven. And there's a fire in the center. Like, this is the ancient ovens. So this is called baking. In this category, there are two different types. Then called chalois matzois, and there's something called rikike matzois. Now, the problem here is it says with regard to both bilulois bashamen and rikike matzois mishuchim bashamen. Now, this would seem to indicate that in the batter of dough, before you stick it to the walls of the oven, you've already applied the oil. And there are different ways to apply the oil. If you're making chalois, then you pour all the oil in, the whole loig, and you mix it thoroughly. Now, that l'chor is not enough. You have to add water also. Because if you don't add water, it's not really called a matzah. It's called cake. You have to add water. That's partial. You have to add water. That's partial. You have to add water. Plus, you add in oil. They'll say water and oil don't mix. It is interesting that this is something interesting, that flour, we need here someone who's a baker. Maybe Mrs. Glatter. Mrs. Glatter, maybe she can chime in over here. You know, oil and water, you know, in Hanukkah, you put in the neros, you have oil. If you have big cups, so people who don't buy those things in the store that are pre-made for you, if you do it yourself, so you have your cup and you put in the bottom water. Because water and oil don't mix. The oil rises to the top. But it seems that if you take water and oil and you mix it together with another ingredient called flour, the flour has the ability to make peace between the water and the oil. Is that true or am I saying nonsense? Anyone have any experience with this? I'm not a baker. I have no idea. I don't get involved with this.
Because oil and water don't mix, so this would be putting it into the flour.
Oh, so the flour has the ability to make peace between the water and oil.
Yeah.
Is that true? Can you peel the...
Yeah, because once you put the... Because the flour absorbs them both.
It's a fascinating concept. Okay, it's like a pot. What makes peace between water and fire? Water and fire cannot coexist. What makes peace between them? The pot. The pot. A piece of metal. In the pot is water. On the outside is fire. Look at that. The water and the fire can coexist because of the pot. The pot separates the two, and the pot brings the two together. The pot takes the heat and puts it into the water bubbles. So here you have water and fire, which by themselves cannot coexist, but through the pot, they come together. They're ma'achet. The water is hot. So you have another example. You have water and oil. Water and oil also cannot coexist. They can't. One, the oil rises to the top. That's the way it is. But if you take flour and you mix it with flour, then the oil and the water come together. Isn't that interesting? I think it's a very interesting phenomenon, which probably has some interesting Kabbalistic or halachic implications in the Olam HaMachshava. So here, Mr. Rabbi is asking a very big question. This is a very powerful question. And maybe we're missing the whole point of how they made the menachos. And that is when it comes to the mincha, we know that when it comes to matzah, we know that if you have matzah ashira, you have matzah which has fruit juices in it, even less than 18 minutes, we assume it's chametz immediately. This that we have a principle that it takes 18 minutes in order for the dough to become chametz, that's only when there's flour and water. If the water is too cold, if the water is too hot, then we're afraid that it became chametz immediately. And what else are we afraid of? If you add even the smallest amount of fruit juice, apple juice, it becomes chametz immediately. You may not see this in the naked eye, it doesn't see any difference. But in halacha, we have to be chayish that adding a foreign matter accelerates the leavening process. And l'cha'ira, that would include oil. So how then can you possibly add oil to the flour and the water? Wouldn't that make it into chametz, where it says it should be made as matzah? I don't know the answer. Either you have to say it's enochinami, oil is not in the category of what we call a fruit juice. Okay, it's not apple juice. It's not. I don't know all the different types of juices they use today or milk. They put all these different things. If you want to go really learn, you go to a pizza shop. And the pizza shop, they make the dough. When they make the dough, what exactly do they put into that dough? When they make it's very how much of it is water, how much is it fruit juice? There's a whole formula to this. I don't remember. It's Nogeh Halacha L'Maaseh when it comes to making a bracha. Do you make a hamotzi on pizza? If they're putting into the dough a significant amount of apple juice, and they put in water also, but it's very they put in a lot of apple juice into the dough that they use to make the pizza. All right. Any of that, we have over here. This is really fascinating when it means the word Giritzon. Giritzon is a translation of the word challah in reference to the mincha, and it means here it's going to be made in a certain shape. That's called a challah, a certain shape, and it's going to be processed very quickly, so it still should be called matzah. Now let me ask you a foolish question. Maybe, I don't know if this even makes any sense. Maybe, Mr. Rappaport, when it says they have it mingled with oil, maybe that means after you bake it. In other words, maybe the oil, you need to do kmitza. If I'm not mistaken, the way kmitza was done is after you make these beautiful cakes, these beautiful challahs matzahs, you take it out of the oven and you grind it up into matzah meal. Maybe after you make the matzah meal, that's when you add the oil. Who says the oil is added when it's being baked in the oven? If the Torah says we want chalos matzos, maybe what it means very simply is you take the flour and you take the water and you make, there's a shape. The shape is round and thick and wide. And you make it into matzah. You put it in the oven, less than 18 minutes, you take it out. And now you have a product. Now what do? You take this product and you grind it up into matzah meal. And then what do? Then you take the oil and you pour the entire leg of oil into this and you mingle it and you make out of it and then you do the kmitza. And when it comes to the kikin, what's the kikin? The kikin is going to be the af soygin, patirin. Af soygin means a different shape. It's a different shape. There's a challah which is one shape and the rikike is a different shape. And then you grind it up, and then you add the oil. And the way you add the oil is going to be nishuchin. Either you just make a small amount of oil. You make a key on the matzah meal, or you make the key multiple times. You smear it until it gets all the way down. Okay, so there are different. We have to really. It's not a lot of these things are not so clear. Maybe it's clear to I don't know to people who know this stuff, even though we learn menachas. Still don't have a clarity in what exactly in the whole process of the Afei Tanur. Okay, let's go further over here and this again a little bit more. Now, what does it mean, matzah? Matzah comes from the word patiron. Okay, I don't know why it's called patiron. This should be very basic to us, to me, but unfortunately, I don't know why matzah. All I can vaguely remember is that there's a lot of drush on the significance that it's called patirin. You know, we have Pesach, besides the Pesach, there's also called Peter Bechor. What is a Bechor? The Peter Rechem. And the word Peter is the same word, is the word in Aramaic for matzah. So there's a similarity then when it comes to Pesach, we eat matzahs, and matzahs in Aramaic is called Patiron or Peter, and that word is the word that is used to describe another mitzvah that we do, Lezech Leitzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem saved Klal Yisrael with Kol Bechor, Hika Be'eretz Mitzrayim, called Peter Rechem La Hashem. Every opener of the womb is La Hashem. So isn't it interesting that we commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim with Matzah, Lo Yochol Hismaneah, Vegan Sedak, Gershon Mitzrayim, we were thrown out of Egypt. Why were we thrown out of Egypt? Because Hashem smote all of the firstborn children. Hashem wiped out the first, the Peterechem, all of the openers of the womb, and they were dying. And because they were dying, they pushed us out of the land, and we came in haste, and our bread did not have enough time to bake, and then we eat matzah. So there are two mitzvahs that are really totally zebzeh. Hashem brought about upon the Egyptians makas b'choyos, firstborns, and the way the Torah defines the firstborn is with the term peter rechem, the opener of the womb. And when that tragedy happened to the Egyptians, they were very angry, and they told us to leave immediately. V'lo yochlu lehismanea. V'gam sedeh lo yosu lohem. And therefore we commemorate the haste of our departure by eating matzah, because we didn't have enough time for it to bake, which is called also patiron. Okay, so the totally zebzeh. Okay, so let me go back over to the matzah. Sorry. Going back over to the word, then it comes to the next word is that mixture. Okay, below the mixture, the word dipilon. Dipilon means a mixture. You take oil and you mix it. Okay, v'chazal kol roi lubilo. Very, very, very good. It's a wetness. Okay, so let's go slow over here. You say it's very, very important. We always like to mention that when it comes to Aramaic, there are certain letters in the Hebrew alphabet that are interchangeable. What are those that are interchangeable? The beis and the pei. What's the classic example? Barzel. Barzel is iron, which can be called farzel. Farzel. How does the Targum translate the word barzel? Farzel. Excuse me. Farzalo with a pay.
What about the Dalet and the Zayin? Like,
that's another example. There are many such rules. But one of the rules in Aramaic, from Aramaic Hebrew, is that the base and the pair are interchangeable. Barzel turns into farzalo. The base turns into a pay. Now, that's very important. Will the beis and the pei be, are interchangeable? So here, it says in the pasuk, you have oil. What is the oil? Beluloyis bashamim. So take the beis and change the beis into a pei. It's poluloyis. 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 Look in the Targum now. What does it say? Dipilon. Okay? The beis, the pei, the beis turned into a pei. It's dipilon. It was mixed in oil. And then when it says Rikike, okay, let me go further over here in the parish over here, what it says over here in this parish. Then what is Rikike? The Espoigin. This means Rikiken. Wafers dakin, thin wafers, Velisha Vigilo Hoyunasim. It was done by Lisha Vigilo Hoyunasim. They were rolled. The Ainan Gizra Sefoig Shadonim Lusfoig Nasin Mibalilo Raka Mavashlum Isam Beshemen. He just in the word of the S Poigin, it does not mean a sponge. He rejects that. It means wafers. Which basically means that it's describing the way the dough was prepared. The way the dough was prepared was by making them, they use less water. There's less water, so it's hard, and you flatten it out. Rikikin. Rikikin, it sounds like the way we have matzah. It sounds like our matzahs. They're rikikin, and then what do? You then go and it is matzahs. You put it in the oven, and it bakes within 18 minutes. So basically, what it appears to be, that according to the way Rav Tavi was explaining, both the Afei Tanur, the end result is it has to be kosher lePesach, matzahs, less than 18 minutes. And there are two types. You can buy shatzah matzahs, or you can buy puppet matzahs. You could have either the chalos matzahs or the rikike matzahs. Different brands. What's the difference between the two? They're both matzah. Let's assume now that the oil comes later. Let's make that assumption. The oil comes later after you bake it. Something in my mind tells me that the oil is later. Maybe I remember from the back of my mind from when we learned once upon a time that the oil is added after you pulverize it. We're describing over here the technique in how you go in the consistency. How much water do you add? Do you add a lot of water or do you add a small amount of water? Do you shape it in a circle or do you shape it as a rectangle or a box, square? What's the technique? So these two words, the chalois and the rikike, are describing the way you shape the dough. You can shape it in the form of a challah, which means round and thick, or in the shape of a rokik, which is thin and square. I'm making that up. I'm assuming that it means thin and square, in contrast to the challah that was round and thick. And the process is completed within 18 minutes, so that we have matzahs. And then you take this product and you pulverize it into matzah meal. And then, I'm assuming, if this is the chalois, you take a loig of shemen and it's belulois, pilulois, beis nepei. You pour an entire loig of shemen and you make it into one mush, almost like a dough again. And then you proceed to do the kamitza. And if it's going to be rikike matzos, then you don't go mix, you don't take the matzah meal and mix it. You take the matzah meal, you put it in the bowl, and you take oil, a small amount of oil, you take the whole loaf of shemen, and you just draw on top of it, you pour in the tzura of a Greek key. Or, according to the other interpretation, you take all the oil and you just press it. You pour it and you press it, but you don't mix it. You let it just sip in by itself. And then you go and you take the kamitza. Okay? Now here's the word. Here they have patidin. We have the word patidin. One more thing. Matzah is called patidin. Yeshav shalil patir patidin. Patidon heim torim lulachem shon nischametz ve'enem shen etzem. Shemilu chametzu kuma emilu chochom. Sheyechol liyos shen etzem al yisal chochom b'chochom asoi. Yechol liyos toyar am chochom. V'navoin. Vayar ashkos v'kamon v'kos v'lovush. Shakosim v'get amilum get piturin. Tzachol ha'arich v'izva b'milu piturin v'shol yira piturin k'tar yitargum matzos. Okay, get piturin. So what does this mean over here? This means what he's saying over here is it means bread. He's saying something very important over here. He's saying, is this a verb or is this a noun? The word patidin is very important what he says over here. Wow, he's saying over here that the word chametz means k'mo hamila chacham. It means over here is that it's not a definition. He's saying the word patir means this bread was potur. It was exempt. The process did not finish. You took it out of the oven, you shortened its ability to become matzah. It's very late. I'll finish this off to explain this with a dilemma. Here's the big dilemma. What's the real bread? Mr. Apple, are you there? I want to hear what you have to think. What is the real bread? Is real bread chametz? And matzah is a bread that's been shortchanged. Really, this dough was entitled to sit and rise for a long time to become fluffy and nice. That's what's supposed to be. What happened? The baker came along and shortchanged the dough. It was pointer. It cut it short, and it made it less than 18 minutes. Is that the pshat? Or no. You know what matzah is? Matzah is the real bread. That's what bread is supposed to be. That's called lechem. Chametz is abusive. Chametz, you let it sit on the table too long. You're lazy. You're lazy. So when a person has chametz, he's not eating the real bread. He's eating bread of a lazy man. What is the ikur and what piece of bread has been abused? You can abuse something either by cutting it short, or you can abuse something by delaying for too long. Is it the pshat? Chot matzah is the ikar. That's the way bread is supposed to be made. When you see chometz, it means there's been a crime. The baker was lazy. He committed a crime. Or just the opposite. The way you make bread is patience. Patience. Real bread is chometz. When you see on the table matzah, you're witnessing a crime, abuse. You cut the process short. The Targum, the fact that he says patirin, which means patur, like a get piturin, it means you're exempt. The woman is exempt. She no longer has any responsibilities to this husband. You get the impression from the Targum, the real bread is chometz. Matzah, it's patur. It was cut short. It was exempt. It was really supposed to wait until a certain period of time. Patur. You cut it short. That's a chiddush. Because I think many people will tell you just the opposite. They would tell you that the real bread is matzah. And chometz is for lazy people. You hear what I'm trying to say? The Targum over here is telling us, the way he explains it, is that the word matzah, by the fact that he translates the word matzah as patiron, it is not a noun. Matzah means bread that was not given a full opportunity to reach its potential. It was cut short. The bread was not given its full opportunity. It was cut short. It's not describing you bread. It's telling you we have our chalos, beautiful cakes that were put into the oven, that were arranged and fashioned a certain way, but it's matzos. You didn't give it a chance to rise. You shortchanged it. You cut its life short by taking it right away to the oven and applying heat to seal the deal. All right, so that's what we have over here. A lot of chidushim, a lot of yisoidos over here in this Targum. And this
is fashion. So he takes another pati or some patur.
Right, yes, yes. And over here in the Matsuri, he says, in a get, the nusach in the get is in Aramaic, a get piturin. Piturin.
Right.
So it means to exempt. It means this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like this. You're potter. Potter.
So in other words, it's matzah is called patir because it's partir from rising.
Right.
From the
which has the connotations that really it was supposed to be under ideal circumstances the bread would rise and reach its full potential. And that's really what it says by Mitzrayim. V'lo yochlu lehismanea. We don't want to leave. We want to let the bread rise. What's the rush? We'll go in the afternoon, we'll leave. No, now, leave now, this moment. You did not give it its opportunity. That gives you the impression real bread is chametz. When you have matzah, it is a victim. Matzah is a victim of a crime. Some people will tell you, don't look at it like that. They look at it, no. The zrizin, ushmartem es hamatzois. Zrizin makdimim. Real bread is matzah. When you witness on the table chametz, that's a victim of a crime. You just let it sit on the table and do nothing. You're lazy. From the Targum, who translates the word matzah to mean patirin, and as the Ama'atzari explains, it comes from the word patur. He seems to indicate, and he says that it's not a noun. The word matzah, the word patin is not a noun. The word matzah is not a noun. The word matzah means bread that has been abused. and has not been given the opportunity to reach its full potential. That's what the word matzah means. An abuse. That's what he's saying over here. A whole new world. Okay, it's late. Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you very much. Ezra,
by the way, Rabbi Levy, you say that the pay and the bays are interchangeable, but the Arabs, in Arabic, they pronounce a pay, but with a P, as a B. In other words, they don't say...
Right, exactly. They're interchangeable. Exactly, exactly. Exactly. Ada Yom Hazeh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Zayin, good night. Thank you for coming.